the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him, and everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. You listen this episode on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. We express our condolences to all Shia Muslims all around the world. First, let's see what date is today. Today's Sunday is the 25th of the month of Shawwal, 1442, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Khordad, 1400, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of June, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As we said, today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. ابن خير البشر السلام عليك اي غريب مادر السلام عليك ابن خير. One day when Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, was having spades in his hand and was working in the agricultural field, and he was soaked in perspiration. During this time, Shaybani saw the holy Imam and said to himself, maybe the reason that Imam Sadiq is working himself with the spade in the field is that he is having no helper or worker to me so that I perform your work. The holy Imam replied, no, I like that one should endeavor and struggle himself to earn his livelihood. It is reported from the wife of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, thus it was the final hours of the life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam when suddenly he opened his eyes and said to gather all his family members and near ones. When all of them had gathered around him, the holy Imam said, our shafa'at, that means the Ahlul Bayt intercession, will not reach to those who degrade and undervalue their prayers. Malik ibn Anas says, we were on a hajj journey with Imam Sadiq when we reached to the place where we had to wear and put on the ground from the horse. When he wanted to recite the labbaik, the voice could not come out from his throat. I told him, O son of the Messenger of Allah, it is inevitable that you should say the labbaik. In my reply, he said, how can I be impertinent and dare to say labbaik when I fear that my Lord will not comply with my request and will reply me, no, no labbaik, no. Dear friends, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, please accept our condolences on the commemoration of Imam Sadiq's martyrdom. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam and his martyrdom. In the beginning, it must be indicated that the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam was proved very influential in establishing the basics of the Islamic religion. It doesn't mean that the previous imams or even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did anything. Rather, it was more in the time of the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam that the whole situation was so ripe and ready for him to explicate, to transmit his knowledge, to explicate the basics of the Islamic religion and to answer the questions and queries raised by people who encountered him. It must be indicated, it deserves mention, that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam was very influential, such that some of the great leaders of the Sunni sect in Islam follow him, I mean, in matters of receiving religious knowledge, and at the same time, all of them refer to him with a high respect and in good esteem. One of the great Sunni figures by the name of Amr ibn Abi Maqdam indicates that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam was so high, that so high in career and character, that whenever he cast a look at him, he understood that he was a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this status was because of the grandeur of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam and the high position he enjoyed, because he was the sixth infallible imam in the Islamic religion. At the same time, it must be indicated that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam was very kind to all people. He attended the funerals of his companions, his neighbors, and those people he knew him well. And at the same time, he used to pay visit to the patients, and if someone mistreated him by mistake, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam never got furious with that person, with him or her. Rather, he treated everybody with good behavior. Abu Zuhra al-Maliki, who is a Sunni figure, indicated that he used to meet Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam too frequently, and he mentions that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam treated everybody with respect, quite respectfully, and he was a smiling personality. However, whenever the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned before him, he used to become very serious, because Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam knew well that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the final divine prophet and the most important personality in the Islamic religion.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.
School of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. During the time of Imam Sadiq, the Theological University of Imam has more than 4,000 students in the different fields of fiqh, that means jurisprudence, tafsir, commentary of the Holy Quran, kalam, hadith or traditions, and experimental science. It is noteworthy that two of the Imams of the Ahl-i Sunnah, Abu Hanifa and Malik ibn Anas, reaped from the harvest of the knowledge of Imam Sadiq. In this regard, Abu Hanifa says, if it was not for those 2 years, the period that Abu Hanifa was the student of Imam Sadiq, Nu'man Abu Hanifa would have been destroyed. It is for this reason that the untiring efforts, struggles, and endeavors of Imam Sadiq in the revival of the original Islamic culture became the reason why the Shia school of thought is also called the Ja'fari. A great jurisprudent of the Ahl-i Sunnah, Malik ibn Anas, says about Imam Sadiq, no eye has seen nor any ear has heard a man in virtue and excellence greater than Ja'far ibn Muhammad. Abu Hanifa says, I have not seen a man more learned and jurisprudent than Ja'far ibn Muhammad. On the commemoration of martyrdom of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, we offer our condolences to all Muslims all around the world.
يا أهل بيت النبوة.
Martyrdom of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Toward the end of his life, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was subjected to severe restrictions placed upon him by the Abbasid Caliph Mansur, who ordered such torture and merciless killing of many of the descendants of the Prophet who were Shia that his actions even surpassed the cruelty and heedlessness of the Umayyads. Hisham, the Umayyad Caliph, had ordered the sixth Imam to be arrested and brought to Damascus. Later, the Imam, Imam Sadiq, was arrested by Saffah, the Abbasid Caliph, and brought to Iraq. Finally, Mansur had him arrested again and brought to Samarra, where he had the Imam kept under supervision, was in every way harsh to him, and several times thought of killing him. Eventually, the Imam was allowed to return to Medina, where he spent the rest of his life in hiding until he was poisoned and martyred through the intrigue of Mansur.
بانی روزه ها شیخ العلم بانی روزه ها
Sudayr al-Sayrafi was one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Sudayr says, one day we went to visit Imam al-Sadiq. We entered his room and we saw him on the ground, crying like a mother who's lost her child. We were shocked, baffled. What happened? He says we approached him and we heard him saying words. And he said the following words, Sayyidi ghaybatuka nafat ruqadi wa dayyaqat alayya mihadi wabtazzat minni rahat fuadi. My master, your ghaiba, your absence, has made me restless. I cannot sleep. Sayyidi ghaibatuka awsalat musabi bifajaya al-abad. Sayyidi, my master, your ghaiba has made my sorrow eternal. Wa faqdi al-wahidi ba'da al-ahad. Fala ara dam'atan tarqa'u min ayni. I cannot hold my tears anymore. Sudayr is shocked. What's going on? When the Imam finished, he calmed down. Sudayr asked the Imam, Imam, what are you crying over? Who's ghaiba? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam tells him, just now I was looking into the book of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The Imams had a special book given to them by Allah that revealed things that would happen in the future. And I saw the ghaiba of my grandson, the Mahdi, and how the difficulties will be. And I saw how in the morning, a Shia will wake up with faith. By the night, they've lost their iman. And this has made me restless, and I am crying for that ghaiba. See, Al-Imam al-Sadiq, 100 years before the birth of the Mahdi, he cries for our time. What do you think is happening to Imam al-Mahdi now? What's his state? In what condition is he? And that generates a lot of pain in the heart of the Imam, salawatullahi alayhi.
Ya Abu Abdullah, Ya Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Ayyuha al-Sadiq, Ya ibn Rasulullah, Ya Hujjat al-Allah.
Okay, that was all of today's special on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Dear listeners, please keep us in your prayers. Fi amanillah.
اشفع لنا
food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, the 6th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here are some points to ponder as thoughts to us by the 6th Imam. Islam could be called naked, thus prudency is its dress, decorum is its adornment, good deed is its personality, and piety is its pillar. Everything should have a basis. The basis of Islam is the adoration to us, the Prophet's progeny.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Firstly, we would like to send our deepest and, you know, condolences to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asr wa-Zaman, and to all the Shia and lovers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, on this being the day reported to be the day of the martyrdom of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi as-salam, that great Imam, that Imam who we attach our madhab to. We call ourselves Ja'fari, because the teachings and the, you know, school of the Imam alayhi salam in Medina, and then obviously to other places that the Imam went, the students that the Imam trained, it is the foundations of our school of thought. That's why we are known as Ja'fari. The structure of the ideas and, you know, our teachings of our school of thought comes from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Hence we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of that Imam, that we are able to truly understand his teachings. And one of his teachings obviously is, you know, this akhlaqi and ethical teachings that we have been discussing over the last few episodes, and this beautiful tradition in which the Imam alayhi salam is mentioning the units and the battalions of the intellect or aql, and those of foolishness or ignorance or jahl. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of this Imam, the Imam who is teaching us these things, that we are able to encompass and to facilitate within ourselves the ability to not, hopefully inshallah, strengthen the units of the intellect within us and weaken those of the jahl. And if we do not even possess them, to acquire these traits, that is, those traits of the intellect. And if we possess the traits of jahl, na'udhu billah, then we are able to destroy them, to defeat them, and to completely remove them from the, you know, vision of our soul, inshallah. So in this segment of the ahadith, the Imam alayhi salam mentions again two qualities. The first thing the Imam mentions again, the unit for the intellect known as salama, or well-being. You know, and the second thing that the Imam mentions, which is in contrast to the first one, is bala, which can be translated as trials or tribulations or hardships. So here this can be looked at again many different ways. As I mentioned previously, the Imam alayhi salam uses very general terms. So one of the possible explanations on a very, you know, apparent nature is that yes, these two things are not in the control of a human being. Just like poverty and wealth, but there we explain there is a different meaning. Here we'll just kind of stick to the general meaning, that these two things enable a person either to go towards the aql or to the jahl. Basically, they lay the groundwork for it. This is one of the potential explanations of this phrase, of the saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. In the first part of today's program, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 61 to 66 of Surah Az-Zumar, recited by Sheikh Hajjaj Ramadan Hindawi, the Egyptian reciter.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa yunaddi Allahu allatheena اتقوا بمفازتهم لا يمسهم السوء ولا هم يحزنون. الله
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 61 to 66 of Surah Az-Zumar, recited by Sheikh Hajjaj Ramadan Hindawi. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Ramadan, Hajjaj Ramadan al-Hindawi. His style of recitation is very similar to, I think, the third or fourth generation of reciters. The first generation was reciters such as Muhammad Rifat, Ali Mahmoud, Abdul Fattah, Sha'shai, Siddiq, Minshawi. The second generation were reciters such as Mustafa Ismail, Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi. Who else?
Abu al-Aynain, Shu'aisha.
Yes.
And Mahmoud al-Banna.
Yeah, we had a lot of great reciters in the second generation. That's why it was called the golden age of recitation. Az-Zamanul Jamil, something that I think Az-Zamanul Jamil is the name of that time.
And we were talking about Egyptian reciters, actually.
The third generation, I believe, were Shahat Muhammad Anwar, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan, Sheikh Muhammad Imran, Sayyid Mutawalli, Raghab Mustafa Ghalwash, and other reciters. Okay. Now, the fourth generation is this generation. I believe this is the categorization of the four generations. Anyway, his style of recitation is similar to Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar, Sheikh Mutawalli. The reciters of this generation, they recited the Quran similarly. That's the point. And Sheikh Hindawi is reciting in the method of Warsh al-Nafir. And
could you talk about some clues?
Yeah, just the way of, from verse 62, we notice the differences. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. The lengthening of Maddulin in Warsh al-Nafir is only whenever there is a Maddulin followed by a Hamza. In fact, the Hamza is the cause of the extra lengthening of the Matulli. Okay? If there is no hamza, there is no lengthening, extra lengthening. For example, if we have yawm, meem is after the matulli. So warsh does not lengthen this matulli. It only lengthens the matullins that have hamza
at the end.
At the end. For example, sawin, shayin, and so on and so forth. And verse 63, lahu maqalidu samawati wal-ard. He doesn't say wal-ard, wal-ard. We have naql of the short vowel of the hamza is transferred to the letter that's before it, which is the lam. So we say, we pronounce the lam with fatha, and we completely ignore the nabr of the hamza entirely.
The glottals. We ignore the glottals.
وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. This is مَدُّ الْبَدَلِ. Okay, مَدُّ الْبَدَلِ means that the cause of the mad, instead of being after the mad,
is before it.
Yeah, it has been replaced, substituted to before, and that's why it's called بَدَل. بَدَل means substitution. Because it comes before the long vowel, it's called مَدُّ الْبَدَلِ. And in Warsh, you're allowed to lengthen it to 2, 4, or 6 vowel counts.
Yes.
And Sheikh Hindawi, he lengthens it more than 2 vowel counts.
And a final point, brother?
Another point is in verse 64, we have... No, actually, in verse 63 and 64, we have Tarqiq of Ra. Humul Khasirun. The Ra is pronounced with Tarqiq. In Warsh, most of the time, you look at the previous letter. If it has a kasra, it's pronounced with tarqiq, like here, khasirun. Or if it's preceded by matulin, a ya, sakina preceded by fatha. In fact, you have to again pronounce the ra with tarqiq, such as in verse 64, قُلْ أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ. Instead of saying Afaghayrallah, the ra is pronounced with tarqiq.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Another aspect of the Quran is the necessity of listening when someone is reciting the Quran. So when you recite, you should recite carefully with tadabbur. When someone else is reciting, again you have to listen carefully. You cannot say, I am not reciting, someone else is reciting, I do my own work. Or, I don't do anything, but just keep silent. The voice of reciter is coming, but I am not following. The Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا قرأ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون. This is Surah A'raf. When the Quran is recited, listen to it and be silent so that you might receive mercy. So, in Arabic, as you know, we have a difference between sami'a and istama'a. Sami'a means heard. Maybe someone is speaking over phone. I don't want to listen, but I hear something. This is called sami'a. But istama'a means you listen carefully. So when the Quran is being recited, you have two responsibilities. One is insat, which means sukut, silence. But second is listening carefully, attentively. So this is to show respect, but this is also to receive rahmah. If I'm not respectful, this is very bad. But on top of that, I have deprived myself from barakah, which is coming. So if someone else is reciting and I listen carefully, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, maybe you receive rahmah, because Quran is rahmah. نُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma inni as'aluka برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء.
So dear listeners, as you have been previously with us, we were talking about the beginning part of this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. O Allah, I ask you by the mercy that envelops everything. And this embracing mercy actually has everything under its scope. And we said that the signs of it are brighter than the sun in every molecule of the creation of mankind. We talked about the different stages of human beings' creation. As the Holy Quran put it, the first stage was being created from the soil, the second being created from the water, and the third being created from a clot. In the fourth stage, the Holy Quran states, ثُمَّ جَعَلَ نَسْلَهُ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ, from a drought of despised fluid. The fifth stage is being created from a drop of mingled sperm. The sixth one is that the Almighty Allah gives form and shapes these sperms. And the seventh stage, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. He makes you in the wombs of your mothers, in stages, one after another, in three veils of darkness. These three veils gradually embrace the fetus. When the fetus is covered between these three veils, if a strike is made to the womb, the impact is transferred to these veils, and these veils actually neutralize it. And this is another sign of the Almighty Allah's mercy toward the human fetus. In the eighth stage, the Holy Quran says, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ. And then we produced it another creation. Having accomplished the shaping of the fetus, which is the sign of the Almighty Allah's power and mercy, Allah breathes spirit into the fetus that is only a sophisticated process in itself, but many facts about it are still unknown. He miraculously transforms the fetus by breathing his spirit into it, and he makes it alive. And this is the stage when the fetus learns to put its finger inside the mouth. And that's why the newly born can feed from his or her mother's breast immediately after the birth. Are the signs of the Almighty Allah's mercy, are they not seen in this stage as well? Then the Almighty Allah says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. It is He who brought you forth from the wombs of your mothers.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny. Oh Allah, I beseech you by your mercy which encompasses everything, and by your power by which you overcome everything, and which submits to it everything, and humble before it is everything. And by your might by which you conquer everything, and by your majesty against which nothing can stand, and by your greatness which prevails over everything, and by your authority which is exercised over everything, and by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished, and by your names which manifest your power over everything, and by your knowledge which pervades everything, and by the light of your face which illuminates everything. O He who is light, O He most holy, O He who is light, O He most holy.
The story of childbirth is one of the most fascinating processes that occurs in the creation system. The fetus that have lived in the dark, quiet, pleasantly warm womb for 9 months, now, by the Almighty Allah's mercy, by His embracing mercy, enters an atmosphere quiet, different from the previous one. Almighty Allah has granted all capabilities to cope with the new environment. The child leaves the womb of the mother with a temperature of about 37 degrees and enters another milieu with more or less a similar temperature, but it copes with the new setting. This survival is still a mystery in medicine. The child that has lived 9 months in darkness goes from darkness into the light, and its delicate eyes tolerate the dazzling light of the outside world. It comes from a wet place to a dry one, but it immediately copes with the new situation. As a fetus, it was fed through the navel, and now it eats through the mouth. Now he can breathe air with no mediator. And these are the signs of the Almighty Allah's unlimited mercy, and human beings should hence be grateful of His blessings wholeheartedly and call out together, Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. O Allah, I ask you by the embracing mercy that has enveloped everything. And this is only one sign, one manifestation, one corner of the world of the Almighty Allah's mercy. We will inshallah talk about this more in the next program. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Stories from the Past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Brothers and sisters, you are listening to The Lantern here on IRIB English Radio. It's a pleasure and honor, as always, to be with you guys today. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen for this lovely opportunity, for these little reminders that we can create for ourselves in the direction of self-refinement, self-betterment, and reforming our mindset and worldview. On this episode of The Lantern, I thought we'd talk about the importance of cherishing, just the importance of cherishing, period. I think you'll understand what I mean better if we listen to this short little story, and then we're going to be right back with our discussion, so please stay tuned.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of this program, Lantern from IRIB English Radio. Welcome to this program, and we have a new story here. Become a better you. What are you focused on today? Are you becoming a better you? Is there peace in your home and in your heart and mind? Are you happy? Are you happy, at rest, and enjoying life? We need to realize that this day is unique and irreplaceable. We need to make the most of it and live like it could be our last. An elderly couple I knew were tremendous role models, always smiling and encouraging other people, and everyone loved them, especially the young people. Moreover, after decades of marriage, they still treated each other with honor and respect. In her mid-80s, the woman went home to be with the Lord. At the funeral, her husband told an interesting story. He said, about 15 years ago, I had a heart attack, and my wife came to the hospital. She said, "Honey, this just shows us how fragile life really is. You could have died." She said, "From now on, every day, I want us to show how much we care for each other, just to show that we're not taking each other for granted. And so for these last 15 or 20 years, we never disrespect each other." My friend,